We're holding on Gimel Amud Beis, the second line of the wider lines. We learned in the Mishnah of Dine Mominus Vishloisha that Dine Mominus require three Dayanim. We talked about the different opinions. What kind are there opinions that you don't need three for Dine Mominus, that you can get by with less. Shmuel said it works with two, but it's called based in Chotzof. We said, do they need smicha? Do they not need smicha? We went through all of that. So the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Dine Mominus Bishloisha, Dine Mominus have to be judged by a base din of three. Rebbe Omer Bachamisha, Rebbe says they have to be judged by five. Kadeshi Gomra, Din Bishloisha. So that way, the Psak Din will be with three. In other words, we talked about previously the source where we know that we need three Dayanim. We had two different opinions, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan. So now Rebbe is saying that so that when we say Kadeshi Yigoma Adin B'Shloisha, so that the din will be completed with three, it makes it sound like he's requiring at the end you have three Dayanim. So the question is, what does he mean? What does that mean? And if you have three, you're going to have a Psak Din based on the two of them. Isn't that enough? As long as you have, so why does Rebbe require five in order that there should be three? There's going to be three throughout the whole thing. So the answer is Hochikama. What Rebbe says is that he means Mipnesha Gmar Din Bishloisha, because he requires that the final Psak Din should be done by three. In other words, Kadesh Yigomer Hadin Bishloisha means that the din should be decided in the presence of three. But the Gemara was bothered by that, then what do you need five for? So no, we're saying not Kadesh Yigomer Hadin, but Mipnesha Gmar Din Bishloisha, the actual final Psak Rebbe holds has to be given by three. So therefore, you need a minimum of five, because if you only have three, what if they don't unanimously agree? What if it's two against one? Rebbe is saying that that's not good enough. You actually need to have that three Dayanim sign off on this psak, and therefore you need a minimum of five to start with. Well, the Gemara says Amar Kasavar, so that shows evidently Rebbe holds Tlosa Kiksivi when it says that you require three Bigmar Dina Ksivi. He holds that that's referring to the Gemar Din. All this time, we were talking about a point of Yoshi or a point of Yonason, that it means that you just need to have three present for the Din Torah, but that we don't require that all three of them should unanimously agree to it. Now we're saying, according to Rebbe, apparently you need that all three of them unanimously agree to it. And therefore, so in order to have that, you're going to need a minimum of five. Obviously, you could have it happen with three, but there's no guarantee because they may split 2-1. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Megadif bar Rababohu. Rababohu was Megadif at that. Now, the word Megadif sometimes we use as a lashon of cursing. Later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the dinim of Birkas Hashem, we're going to be using that expression. It comes from a pasuk, as Hashem hu Megadif. So it can mean that, like Rab Abba cursed out and criticized severely this explanation. There is actually an explanation, though, from the Gaonim, that the word Megadif literally means to make a wiping motion. So the explanation from the Goinim that it means like he made a motion with his hand, like what kind of an explanation, like the kind of dismissive wave of a hand that you might do to say, what kind of an explanation is that? Rabbi Bohu says, how can you possibly explain that that's what Rebbe means? Elameata, by that logic, if you're going to say that whenever the Torah says a number of Dayanim, that there has to be, that it refers to, according to Rebbe, the number who actually sign off on the verdict, not the ones who agreed to the verdict, not just the ones who were present for the discussion. Elameata, by that logic, Te Sanhedrin Dola, Tzricha Meir V'Aboim V'Echad. Then by that logic, the Sanhedrin Dola should have to have 141 members. So that way, when they give up sack, then you'll have a minimum of 71 dayanim to sign off on it. And we know, of course, that's not so. By the same logic, we said in the Mishnah that a Sanhedrin Ktana, that judges Dini Nefashis, has to be a minimum of 45. But Rabbi Bohu says, if you're going to tell me that the point is that you need, sorry, that the Mishnah had said you need 23 of a minimum, but if you're going to tell me, the point is that according to Rebbe, the number of Dayanim it says is not the number that we need to be present for the deliberations, but rather that need to be the ones who agree to the Psak Din, then by that logic, again, you would need 45 members, Kadeshi Gomar Din, Bishloisha V'Estrim, so that the Gomar Din will be given by 23. And we obviously find no such thing. Tosfos points out, when you get down to it, as far as the Sanhedrin Gdola is the real question, because by the Sanhedrin Gdola, the pasuk clearly says that you have 70, and then, okay, you have the Machlokas, whether it means 70 or 71, whether Moshe counts as one of the 70 or not, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda holds 70, the Chacham holds 71, and at the end of the Perek, we're going to deal with the underlying Machlokas. The Sanhedrin Katana, really, actually, all it is, as we learned in the Mishnah, in principle, you only need 20. The only reason why you need 23 is because of that whole business with that you need a super majority in order to convict. So that brings us up to 22, and then you can't have an even numbered based in, so therefore you need 23. So strictly speaking, then, following Rabbi Bohu's logic, we would say you wouldn't need 45 for a Sanhedrin Katana. Really, you would need 39. But be that as it may, the point is, neither 39 nor 45 do we ever find any such thing that a based in has to be that number. So the bottom line is, in other words, Tosfos actually leaves it as a question. Why does Rabbi Bohu say 45, where in fact, on the face of it, based on his logic, 39 would be enough? So, okay, the Rosh says, because listen, you know, once we're saying that it's true, it doesn't say in the Pasuk the number 23, but once we derive it from the Ribuyim that we said in the Mishnah, because you need to have a super majority of two, and you can't have an even numbered based in, so therefore it's considered as though 23 said in the Pasuk, and then in turn, according to Rebbe, we would say that you would need 45, which is why Rabbi Bohu is using that expression. And obviously we don't find that. So therefore, obviously Rabbi Bohu says, no, Ella, where obviously what it means is when the Torah says, when Hashem says to Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish, when Hashem tells him, gather to me 70 men, Omer Achmana, Hashem says, means Meshas HaSifa Shivim, means at the time they're gathered together, you have to have 70. Similarly, the Shaftu Eda, the Itzilu Eda, when the Pasuk says that there has to be an Eda who's voting, who's judging to convict him, and an Eda that's voting to acquit him, and as we said in the Mishnah, an Eda consists of 10. So Nami, so the same thing, Mishas Shvitasa Eda, it means when they're judging, from when they sit down to start judging the case, is when you have to have the 10 and 10, and then you have the additional ones in order to get a super majority and to not deadlock, etc. So the point is, in other words, that obviously in all those cases, it means that the Torah is implying a number that you have to have at the time of the verdict, just the number that sign off on the verdict, just the number that you have to begin with in order to sit as a based in. So Hochanami, well, the same thing over here. V'nikra balabayis el elikim. When the pasuk says the balabayis, the shomer and the mafkid are coming to based in. When it says that they come El Halakim, and they come to Elikim, and as we learned yesterday, that implies a Beis Din of three. So it just means Meshas Kriva Shloisha. It means when they approach the Beis Din, then the Beis Din has to consist of three. So where is Rebbe getting the idea that you need to have five? Ella Hainu Taima de Rebbe. So rather, Rebbe's reasoning is as follows. The Pasuk says, Asho Yarshi'un Elikim. The Pasuk says that they come El Elikim, they come to the expert judges of Beis Din to get the case decided. And then the Pasuk says, Asho Yarshi'un Elikim, the one whom Elikim declare guilty. And now the word Elikim itself is always in plural form, but the word Yarshi'un is also in plural form. They will declare him guilty. So that implies Trey. So that implies another two Dayanim. So now you have like this, Nemer Elikim Lamata, V'Nemer Elikim Lamaila. In the two psukim, back to back, it mentions the word Elikim. It mentions Ad Elikim Yovid Varshnehem, and it mentions, actually, it's in the same pasuk, Ad Elikim Yovid Varshnehem, and Arsho Yarshiun Elikim. So we said, actually, there are three times in the psukim that it says Elikim. As we discussed previously, we said Rabbi Yoshia holds that each one of them teaches us that you need a Dayan, so therefore putting them together means that we need three Dayanim, and then we said Rabbi Yonasan had said, you don't use the first one because that's needed to teach us that we need mumchim, and therefore we leave that one out, and therefore we only have two, and then we say that a based in can't be even numbered. So now Rebbe says, since it says Alekim twice in the Psukim, that's relevant for our purposes. So Nemer Alekim Lamata, it says further on, Asher Yashion Alekim, but Nemer Alekim Lamaila, and then earlier it says that they have to come to Alekim, they have to come to the Beis Din. Therefore, we learn from that, Malamata Shnaim, Aflamaila Shnaim. So we learn that in both Psukim, we're talking about two Dayanim, because in the second Pasuk, it says Yashion, and that's clearly a plural. So therefore, it means there have to be two of them. We learn from Xeder Shava, says Rebbe, that in the earlier pasuk also, when it says v'nikra balabayis el elikim, means you need two, and so therefore, so far you have four. The ein based in shokol, and as usual, a based in cannot be even numbered. Harei kan chamisha. Therefore, there you get your fifth dayan. So when Rebbe had said you need five, now he had used the expression Kadesh Yigomar Adin B'Shloisha. We thought that Rebbe meant that it means that the verdict has to be delivered by three dayonim. We're saying it's not so. Rebbe does agree that it's fine, that it would be fine otherwise. But he's saying, in other words, he would say that if we only had four, then you might have a deadlock of two and two. So in order to make it possible that there should be a verdict by three, then that requires five. But he's saying not based just on the logic that in order to get three, you need to start out with five, but rather he's darshaning it from the psukim, that the reason that Torah is insisting on five is in order to have a verdict delivered by three. V'rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer to that? They say Yarshi Onksiv. Sure, it says in the Pasuk Yarshi Un. We pronounce the word Yarshi Un with a short, with a kubutz under the ayin, which makes it a plural, but the fact is that it's written in the Torah without the Vav, and therefore we can read it as though it said Yarshi On or Yarshi Ein or whatever, and therefore that would be a singular. So you, Rebbe, are telling us that you learn from that it means two dayonim because it's a plural. But no, actually, we don't learn from that it's two because it's written in the form of a singular. And therefore, we're back to what we said before, that you have three times of the kim, or we only count two out of the three of them, and therefore we only need three dayonim, and not five. So they don't accept Rebbe's gzeira shava, in short. So the Gemara digresses over here to talk about as follows. Now, so we have, this is one of many examples that we find throughout Shas where a word is written a certain way in the Torah, and we're able to read it because it's, after all, the Torah is written without Nekudas, so therefore we're able to read it as though it was written a different way. As though it had different Nekudas. There's Bechlal. I mean, the Nekudas themselves were not written down until the times of the Goyim. There are opinions. There are those who say that they were invented during that time by the Baalei HaMasorah. However, based on Zohar, it comes out that obviously the Nekudas themselves existed from the beginning. You can't pronounce Lashon Kodesh without Nekudas. But when it comes to the symbols for the Nekudas, so that we first find those symbols written in the times of the Gaonim by the Baalei HaMasorah. So there is an opinion by Rabbi Elia Bacher, famously, who says that they were actually invented in that time, and that until then there were no particular symbols for them. Based on the Zohar, though, it seems that the Zohar says not so. The actual symbols for them are also Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. Just they were like the rest of Torah Shabbat Peh. They weren't written down until the time came that it needed. That needed to be done. But the point is, the Sefer Torah obviously is still written without Nekudas, and therefore you have many words in it where you could conceivably read them two possible ways. One with the Nekudas that we have, but given the consonants that are written there in the Torah, you could equally well read it another way. So now the question becomes, which one of those is more important? That concept, that argument is called Yesh Eim L'Mikra or Yesh Eim L'Masoras. Yesh Eim L'Mikra would be that we focus more, we're more interested in the Mikra, in the actual way that we're told to pronounce it. As in our example over here, where Rebbe says, since the word is pronounced Yarshi Un, we have the Kabbalah, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the word is supposed to be pronounced Yarshi Un with a kubutz, which is a plural, then therefore we use that, and therefore we not only we read that in the Torah, obviously everybody agrees we read it that way in the Torah, but therefore we can derive dinim from that. Whereas we're saying the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe hold what's called Yesh Eim L'Masoras, meaning the Masoras, the way that that's transmitted to us to write the words in the Torah, is the more significant thing. So now, a couple of interesting things in it. First of all, why do we call it Yesh Eim L'Mikra versus why do we use the word Eim, which means a mother? So there's actually an interesting explanation that's brought from the Halichus Olam, which is a sefer on the fundamental klolim of Gemara. So like this, we have what's called a binyan av. We know that in the Yud Gimel Midas Shatern Adreshes Behem, we have a binyan av where the Torah tells us something in one place, and we derive from it to apply the same din in other places. So therefore, it's called an av, a father. In the sense that you learn it from one place to another, like the way a father teaches his children. So that's binyan av. But then why over here do we use the word aims? Actually, the Rif deals with it in his Shilos HaTruvas. It's the first Truva in the Rif. He explains, he starts by saying, we haven't really heard from our Rebbeim a specific answer why sometimes we use a word like binyan av versus yesh aim lemikra. He says basically because when it comes to a binyan av, we're learning from it to something else. So again, like the Halukhas Olam says later on, like a father teaching his children, as opposed to yesh aim lemikra or yesh aim lemasodis over here, is just what do we learn in this particular place, not where it's relevant from that to someplace else, not that we're deriving from this to someplace else, but we need to know in this particular pasuk, what do we do? And then there's the idea, there's the idea al piyah pizoyar that Ovicha and Imecha refer respectively to Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh. And when it comes to, again, the Nakudas are part of Torah Shabbat Peh, so therefore we use the word yesh aim lemikra, that we're saying, therefore, that the aim, the Torah Shabbat Peh, which tells us how to pronounce this word, is the more important thing. In any case, so there's a lot more discussion about that, but in any case, so there is this underlying machlokas, which one is the more important one when it comes to darshaning psukim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosi, or Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rebbe, V'Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, Obes Shammai, V'Rab Shimon, V'Rab Akiva, those five Tanoim, Kulu Sviro Lahu Yesh Eim L'Mikra. All of them hold that the Mikra, the way we're told to pronounce the Pasuk, the way we're told to pronounce the word in the Pasuk, is the more significant thing. Meaning, Tosfos says, when they contradict one another, when they don't, then everybody agrees. The Gemara is going to end up saying that everybody agrees you do that anyway. But right now, even at this stage of the Gemara, it knows that where they don't contradict one another, then we darshan both of them. But here we're talking about like this with this word yarshi'un over here. If we read it if we darshan it the way it's read, then it's a plural. If we don't, if we look at the letters in the Sefer Torah, then it's a singular. So therefore, so you have a contradiction between them, and the machlokas is which one is the more significant as far as the drasha. So these five tanoim all hold that the way we pronounce it is the more significant one. So let's go through that. The Gemara says, Rebbe Hodam Moran. Rebbe, we just said how we know that, because we see when it comes to this word Yarshi'un, that Rebbe focuses more on the actual pronunciation of it, even though in the Torah it's written without the vav. Next, Rebbe Yehuda ben Royetz, the Tanya, where we see Rebbe Yehuda ben Royetz hold of this concept. The Tanya, we learn a Braisa, Sholu Talmidim as Rebbe Yehuda ben Royetz. Rebbe Yehuda ben Royetz's Talmidim asked him as follows. Now, we know the Torah tells us that when a woman gives birth, if she gives birth to a boy, then she's Tomei for 7 days, and then after that she has Dam Toihar for the next 33 days, namely that if she bleeds, that if she continues to have uterine bleeding during the next 33 days, then it's actually Dam Toihar. She's still also to eat Truma and Kodshim, but she would be Mutter to her husband. And then at the end of the 40 days, 7 plus 33, she brings a korban. Now, by a girl, nowadays we don't do dam toya, but anyway, by a girl, though, the Torah says that when she's tomei after the birth, the pasuk says v'toma shvu'ayim k'nidasa. She becomes tomei for shvu'ayim like the way she is when she is a nida. So the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, how do we know that the word is written in the Torah, shin veiz ayin yud mem? Which could be read shvu'ayim, which means 2 weeks, but it could also be read as the word shivim, which means 70. So the Talmidim asked him, ekrani shivim, how do we know that the word is not meant to be read shivim, and it would mean that she's tomei for 70 days after the birth? So yochol tehei yeledes nekeva, tmeya shivim, shivim. So you would think that maybe a woman who gave birth to a baby girl is tomei for 70 days. And so he answers them, timei v'tihur bezachar, he says, I'll show you by logic. We see the Torah says that there's a tumah and a period of tumah v'tara after a boy is born and after a girl is born. So, now let's consider when it comes to the Yimei Toihar, there's 33 for a boy and there's 66 for a girl. That the Torah says explicitly, the number 66. So we see when it comes to the days of Tara, the days where even though she continues to have uterine bleeding, she's still Tohar to her husband, we see clearly that there are 66 days of that, which is twice 33 for the boy. After Timim Bezachar ben Akeva Kiflayim, the same way we can say by analogy that when the Torah says the amount that she's Tomei for a boy, then it's double that amount for a girl. So therefore, that would yield 14 days rather than 70. Tosfos points out, I mean, the Gemara could have given, Rabbi Yehuda could have given them another answer as well, that since the Pasuk says Kenidasa, then it means that an extra amount of time equal to the amount that she's Nidah. She's Nidah for 7 days, so therefore it means an extra amount of time equal to the 7 days. So he could have answered that, but whatever. The point is, in other words, it's true, the word itself might be read Shivim, but the fact is that you have an inference from the Pasuk that it really means only 14. Why it is that it's more with a girl than with a boy, there are different explanations. This isn't the place to get into it. That's the Shem when we learn Masechta Nidah in a couple of years from now. We may discuss it in fuller detail. Anyway, so La'achar sheyotzu, so then after the Talmudim left, Yotzu machzu achareim, then Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz went to try and find them again. Omer lahen, he tells them, you know what, I just realized, I'atem zkukim l'kach. You don't really need that. There's a better explanation. Shvu'ayim Karina. And the fact is, we do read it Shvu'ayim v'yesh'em l'mikra. And we see that yesh'em l'mikra, the way we pronounce it, is considered more important than the way that we say it, than the way that it's written in the Torah. So here we see it. Yehuda ben Royetz then is one of the ones who holds this way, that the way that that it's written in the Torah is the more significant thing. So, the way that it's pronounced is the more significant thing, which is Yesh'em L'mikra. In other words, never mind the logic that we use, just the fact that we have the Kabbalah to read the word Shvayim, then that tells us it's 2 weeks and that's that. Next. Beth Shammai, where do we see Beth Shammai holds of such a concept? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim, Beth Shammai, kol mitonan ha-mizbeach ha-chitzon, all the blood that's applied to the mizbeach ha-chitzon. Now we know, we have different types of korbanos that get different numbers of applications of blood. Bechor and Meiser and Pesach get only one. Most korbanos get shtayim shein arba. Achatos has it daubed with the kohen daubs it with his finger on the four corners of the mizbeach. Anyway, Beis Shammai says that all of them shenosin v'matona achas with most of the korbanos. If he were to do only one application of blood kippur, then b'diavad he's been mechafer and the korban is kosher. Shenem v'dams v'achecha yishofech, as the pasuk says, the blood of your korbanos should be spilled, implying, in other words, that you just need the dieved, one spill of the mizbeach, of the blood on the mizbeach, and the korban is kosher. The words are in parenthesis over here because Marasha takes them out. The Mishnah in Zvachim does not actually bring those words. Anyway, Beis Shammai says, v'chatos shtei matonis. However, when it comes to a chatos, you would need to have a minimum of two applications of blood out of the four in order for the korban to be kosher. Beshilol holds that even with a chatas, the dievet, if you did only one, then it still works. Now, when it comes to blood on the mizbeach apnimi, it's not like that. As we say in Ezra Makoyman in the morning, as we say, matona achas mehen ma'akovas, when it comes to the ones that are applied in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh, then those, even one application missing, is makes the korban possible. But when it comes to ones on the mizbeach hachitzen, everybody agrees that some of the applications are not strictly necessary. You yotze the korban without that, but you have the machlokas with shammai b'shilol about how many you need. According to b'shammai, one with most korbanos and two with a chatos, and according to b'shilol, one across the board. Now Rav Huna explains in the Gemara in Zvachim, my time at the Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai say that it's enough for that by a chatos you need two? So like this, because in connection with the various types of chatos. Now you have various types of chatos that are brought. You have the chatos that a kohen gadol, the special chatos that a kohen gadol brings if he makes a mistake in halacha and follows it, which we'll learn about in Masechta Hodias, Bez Hashem. You have the similar korban that the Beis Din brings if the Sanhedrin Dola makes a mistake in halacha and most of the people follow it. Then it talks about various other kinds of chatos. You have the chatos that the king brings if he does an aveira, and then you have the chatos that a regular person does. By each one of them, it says the word karen nois. It says that you have to put the blood on the horns, on the corners of the mizbeach. So Beis Shammai says, three times it says karen nois, karen nois, karen nois, karen nois, sholosh pamim. Three times it says, karenus, karenus, karenus. It says three times the word karen nois. So, uh, So the three times, actually, no. So we're not counting the ones that are mentioned by we're not mentioning the ones that are mentioned by the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par Helam Dovashot Tzibur, because those are a different type of chatas. Those the blood is actually brought into the Kodesh as and sprinkled over there, so those don't count. But within the regular chatas, you have as follows: you have the chatas of a you have the chatas of the king. If he does something that makes him chayiv chatas, then you have, when it comes to a yochid, a regular or hediot, a regular person who does an aveda that makes him chayiv chatas, the Torah describes he could bring a goat as a chatas, a female goat, or he could bring a female sheep. And the Torah repeats the details by each one of them, and by each one it says that the Kohen has to place the blood, al kaun nois hamizbeach. So three times it says in those psukim, kaun nois. Well, Beis Shammai says, so three times two equals six. So therefore, harekan sheish. So that would mean, in other words, so far that we have six applications of blood. Now, obviously, you can't really have six applications. There are only four corners of the mizbeach. So there's no way that you could have six. So Beis Shammai says, Arba l'mitzvah, it means four of them are teaching us twice that it says kaun nois in a plural, means four, two times two, teaches us l'mitzvah, that the proper way of doing the mitzvah is to do four. Or shtayim, la'akev, and then the other two teach us la'akev, that the minimum that are necessary are two. There's a concept, Rashi mentioned, the point, Rashi in Zvachim on the Sugya explains that Beis Shammai says like this: we have a general rule when we get to Seder Kodshim, we'll talk about it a lot of times, Beis Hashem, that you have a rule by Kodshim, in order for something to be ma'akev, it has to be shona olav akosu. The Pasuk has to repeat at least twice to repeat a point at least twice in order to say that it's actually ma'akev. If it says it only once, it means you should do it that way, but if you didn't, the korban is still kosher. So Beis Shammai then is saying that it needs to repeat in order to say that two of the matonis are required, so it has to repeat the word kaunos. And again, each time kaunos means two, because it's read as a plural. So they're saying, in other words, in effect, what the Torah is telling us, it's saying four times, and then out of those four, it's telling us two of them are ma'akev by repeating the word kaunos again. Therefore, Beis Shammai says, we learn from that you need a minimum of two in order for it to work. So that's according to Beis Shammai. Whereas Beis Hillel takes the view as follows: kaun nois. Beis Hillel says it's true every time it's read kaun nois, but two out of the three times it says it. It's written in the Torah without the vav after the nun. So therefore, we're able to read it as though it said kaun nas, meaning the horn of. So it would be one horn. So Beis Hillel says, in other words, in effect, what you have is only four. You have kaun nois, which is written and read as a plural, so therefore that means two. Then you have kaun nas, and another kaun nas means one each. So you have only four. Well, therefore, Beis Hillel says, Saharekan arba, so it comes out, you only have four, a reference to four counters. Shloish shel mitzvah v'achas la'akev. So they're going to say three of them means the mitzvah has to be that you have to do three of them plus the initial one. V'achas la'akev, and one to be ma'akev, meaning, in other words, according to Beis Hillel, you only need one. But ideally, you should do the other three. And therefore, the Torah is telling you three more times, is hinting three more times about kaun nois in order to tell us that the other three should be done, but they're not ma'akev. Now, there is the point in that. Now, first of all, a couple of interesting things in this. First of all, our Sifrei Torah and our Chumashim do not have the words written like that. By our Sifrei Torah, every one of them is written kaun nas, is written choser. So it's an example, actually, where we have sometimes the Masorah as we have it in our Sifrei Torah and our Chumashim is different than the way that the Gemara has it. That's just how it is. There were different Masorahs. There were different Masorahs. Even now, we have slight differences between, for example, Ashkenazic and Sephardic Sifrei Torah versus the Yemenite Sifrei Torah. There's about nine differences between them. As far as Psua Daka, whether it's written with an Aleph for a hey. So here we have the Gemara is following the Masorah that they had, which is that every that one of them is written Molei and the other two Chaser, but in our Sifrei Torah, they're all written Chaser. So there is that point. It's true that they're not spelt. That's true. It's not spelt the same way as it is in the Torah. But another point is over here that we learned on the previous Amud, Ein Doshin Tchilus. We said that according to Rabbi Yonason, we said, and actually we said both Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Yoshia agreed that Ein Doshin Tchilus. We said that the first time it says something in a pasuk, we can't necessarily use it to dashing towards a number because the Torah needs to say the word just to tell us the actual fact. So then according to here, so how is Bes Shammai or Bes Hillel using the first mention of the word? Mephoshim asks this question. The Rosh says when you have all the psukim are in one parasha, then we had before by Elikim, where all of them are mentioned in connection with a shomer, then you can say that one of them is meant to teach us the basic din, and the other ones are there extra, and therefore we can darshan from them. But here, each one is a separate parasha of its own. So therefore it means that we can darshan each one of them. The Toras Chaim gives a different answer. He says because here where the Torah could have used a different word instead, for example, in the case of Karnos over here, for example, the Torah could have said that it should be sprinkled Saviv around the Mizbeach. It didn't have to say the word Karnos each time, and therefore we can use the word Karnos each time for the Darasha. Anyway, the point is, so the Gemara finishes off to explain Bes Hillel, the Eima Kulul Mitzvah. So fine, if Bes Hillel is saying there's nothing repeated over there, then and again, we say that by Karbaris, it has to be Shana Olav HaKosiv La'akiv, only if it repeats it, are we saying that it's Ma'akiv? So maybe we should say, according to Bes Hillel, all four Matonis are optional, and if you didn't do any of them, then the Korban is still kosher. So the Gemara says, come on, kapara b'chdilay ashkhan. We never find that a kapara is going to work for nothing. You have to have some application of blood to the mizbeach in order for the korban to be kosher. But Bas Hillel is saying once you have the one, then that's good enough, and the other three are meant to be only the mitzvah. So the point is, we see from this that Beis Shammai holds Yesha'im L'mikra. They hold, here you have, it's written in the Torah, Karnas, in some of the places at least, as though it was Karnas, one horn, but we read it in every place, Karnos, the plural. So therefore, Beis Shammai holds, we have to look at the plural in Darshaning, whereas Beis Hillel is saying that we have to look at the fact that it's written in the Torah in a singular form. So that's another example of Bes Shammai. That's another one in Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef's list of Tanoim who hold Bes Shammai is in that list of ones who hold Yesh'im L'mikra, that we have to follow what we have to follow for the Drushas, the way it's read and not the way it's written. Next, Reb Shimon. Where do we see Reb Shimon holds of such a concept? D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa and Masechta Sukkah, when it comes to the walls of a Sukkah, Shtayim Kilchosan, you need a minimum of two full walls, or Shlishas Afilu Tefach, the third wall could be even a Tefach, and that's good enough, and it counts as a whole wall. The Gemara explains there exactly how it has to be placed, but whatever the point is, in principle, you only have one tefach of actual wall. Reb Shimon, Sholosh Kilchosin, or Revias, I feel the tefach. Reb Shimon says you need to have a minimum of three complete walls, and then the fourth one can be at least a tefach. So, where do we get this from? Amai Kamifsky, what's the machalikas? So, the same thing. Rabbanan Savri Yesh'em L'masoda, but Reb Shimon Savri Yesh'em L'mikra. The Rabbanan hold that when it comes to darshaning, you have to follow the Masoda, the way it's written in the Torah. And Reb Shimon holds Yesh'im L'mikra, you have to follow the way that's read. So let's go through the same kind of thing. The pasuk says basukas harekan arba. So the Rabbanon hold. Again, when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkahs, it says three times in the pasuk the word basukos, but two of them are written chaser. So therefore, again, the ones that are written chaser, we darshan as though it said in the singular form, basukas, in the sukkah. And then you have one of them that's written with a vav after the chaf, so it has to be read as plural. So therefore, basukos, harekan arba. Therefore, the chamse, altogether you have four. Here, unlike the karnos as before, here it does agree with how we have it in our Sifrei Torah. We do, in fact, have in the pasuk basukos teshuv shivas yamim, called Ezra Chisio, B'Yisrael, Yeshuv Asukos, Laman Yedu Derisechem, Ki Basukos, Yeshavti Esperei Yisrael, we do in fact have them written like that in the Torah, the first two Chosu, the third one Malay. Anyway, so Harekan Arba, so the Chum say, therefore we see That you have four. That you have four. Dal chad kro legufe. Subtract one, which we need for legufe to tell us that you have a mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah. Partial arba. That partial hu shalosh. Partial plus. Therefore, that leaves us three. So fine. So you have three. Astori hilchsa. Now you have a halacha l'moshe misinai of the concepts of that the Gemara mentions over there. Lovod and doifin akuma and other such things. The whole concept of what constitutes a valid mechitza is all part of halacha l'moshe misinai. So the halacha l'moshe misinai in this case garat. So the shlishis, it reduces the size of the third one instead of requiring a full third one. For it came to a tefach and tells us that a tefach is enough. But basically, you start out with that the Torah is telling you need three walls. Reb Shimon sova. Meanwhile, Reb Shimon holds basukois, basukois, basukois. Reb Shimon says no. You have to follow the fact that it says basukois each time. It's read as a plural. Never mind how it's written in the Sefer Torah. He says yeshem lemikra. You have to go according to how it's read. Well then, harei kan sheish. So that means six. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to have a hexagonal sukkah. It means chdal chad kro legufe. Fine, I agree with you, Chacham. One of them is needed to tell us the basic concept that you need to dwell in a sukkah during sukkahs. Poshul hu arba. Therefore, he says that leaves a reference to four walls. So asoy hilchsa gerata l'revius. So therefore, the halacha l'moshe misinai comes and reduces the size of the fourth one. And says that a tefach would be good enough. But that's why he says you need three complete walls and a tefach for the fourth one. Because he says basically the Torah is indicating to you that you need three, that you need four walls, as opposed to the Chacham are saying basically the Torah is indicating that you need only three. So therefore, Reb Shimon is another one of these ones who holds Yeshem Lamikra. Next, Reb Akiva, where do we see Reb Akiva holds of this concept? D'tanya, we learn in a Braisa. How do we know if you have a revius of blood that came out of two different dead bodies? Now, if a revius of blood comes out of a body, out of one single dead body, everybody agrees that that blood is metame a person. But now you have, what if you have two mesim and a little bit of blood came out of one and a little out of the other one, and together it forms a revius, shematame ba'oihel, how do we know, says Rabbi Akiva, that that would be enough to be metame a person who's under the same roof as it? So Shenema, because the pasuk says by a kohen gadol, va'al kol nafshes meis lo yavoi, that you should not come to a place where there are nafshes, where there are souls of the dead, he should not come. So therefore, so he said. So the blood itself is nefesh ki adam hu nefesh. So therefore, nafshes means that you have two. So you have two people. Therefore, he says it means that you have two nefashos, two different batches of blood, which all together make up one shear, and that's enough to make the person tummy. Even again, the Chachamim say that you have to look at the fact that in the Torah the word nafshos is written without the vav, so we can read it as nafshas, which is a singular. So here again, we see Rabbi Akiva holds Yeshem Lemikra, and the Chacham holds Yeshem Lemasodas, that we have to go according to how it's written in the Torah. The Bala Turim on the Pasuk actually mentions an interesting remez also for Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The halacha is in the end like the Chachamim, but he brings an interesting remez for Rabbi Akiva's opinion. In that Pasuk, every two words in that Pasuk end with the same letter. So you have the al kol, which ends with lamids, nafshois meis, which both end with tuf, lo yavoi, which both end with an aleph, lo aviv le imoi, two words that end with a vav, lo yitama, both end with an aleph. So it's a remez for Rabbi Akiva's idea over here that you have two meisim and one revius of blood from between the two of them, and it's enough to be metame. The halacha in the end is like the chachamim, though, that it's the halacha in the end is like the chachamim. No, it's metame only if it came from one. Only if it came from one from one person. Tosfos actually discusses over here that after all, you have when it comes to flesh from a mess. After all, you have that that you could have. You have less than a kazayas of one and less than a kazayas of the other, and you have dinim about that. So why do we need a special limud when it comes to blood over here? So Tosfos discusses a little bit of the ins and outs of that. One point is that Tosfos makes the point that we need bechlal, the main limud over here is just to say that the blood is metame, just like the flesh of the mess. Otherwise, you would think, because you know what, you take blood from a person, and you take flesh from a person, it never completely regenerates. There's always a scar there, as opposed to you take blood from a person, it completely regenerates, and after a while, you can never tell that any blood was removed, so you wouldn't know that the blood is metame all by itself, and therefore you need a posik to tell us that. But the chum are saying again that you don't really need. It's not so that if it's combined from two different people, it would be enough if it was actually. It's only if it was actually from one. Only if it was actually from one person. So there is our list of five Tanoim who all hold that Yesh Ein L'mikra. However, Maski Flor of Achaba Yaakov, but Achaba Yaakov asks on that. You're telling me that only those five Tanoim hold that way, but is there in fact any Tana who holds we don't go according to Mikra when it comes to Darshaning? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa. You know, the Torah tells us, the word chalev, ches lamed vez, could be pronounced two different ways. It could be pronounced chalev, which is the construct form of cholav, and it means the milk of, or it could also be read as the word chalev, which means the fat. So yochol b'chalev. So maybe the Torah is telling you that you're not allowed to cook meat in chalev. So it means, in other words, say you would be allowed to cook meat with milk, you're just not allowed to cook it in chalev. And the point would be, chalev itself, as it is also anyway. So therefore it would mean, if you cook meat in chalev, then you'd be, the person would be getting two malchus, one for the fact that he's eating chalev, and one for the fact that it's basa b'chalev. But how do we know that it means cholov, that it means milk? Amarta, so you say yesh eim amikra. The fact is, you have to go according to the way it's pronounced. And we have the Kabbalah, back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the word is pronounced cholov, and therefore it means milk. So even though seemingly you could have read it the other way, but that's the fact is, this is how you read it, and this is how you understand it. So, and everybody agrees to that. Nobody says there's no issur basa b'chalav. So how could you say it's only some Tanoim who hold this way? When it comes out, everybody holds that way. In fact, the Ran points out, why would we think that it should be more chalav than cholav? And he says, because after all, you know, the question is that we know already chalav is osur. The point is, maybe we'd say both. Maybe there's a special isur of cooking basa b'chalav and also basa b'cholav. Then the Maharam also gives an explanation in Rashi that maybe we would say fine, it's also to cook in its mother's milk, but maybe it would be allowed to cook in milk from a different animal, and it's only chalev that it would be also regardless. So in any case, the point is that we see it's not so. We know there's an issur of basa b'cholav. There's no issur of basa b'chalev. So obviously everybody holds that yesh ein l'mikra. Ella de kula alma yesh eim l'mikra. Rather, we have to say everybody agrees that yesh eim l'mikra. When it comes to darshaning psukim, we do have to darshan according to the way it's read and not according to the way it's written. So let's go through the five points that we went through with the five tanoim, and we'll show how we can relearn them in the way that we understand now. So the Rebbe v'Rabbanan b'Hokem Miflegi. So as far as the original machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, which is what led us into this whole thing about the word Yaushi'un in the pasuk, which is pronounced as a plural, and we said it's written in the Torah Yaushi'on without the vav, so we can read it as a singular, and we said that that's a matter of Yesh Eim L'Mikra or the Masoras. No, now we're going to understand differently. B'Hokem Miflegi, the underlying machlokas is as follows: Who are the Elikim? Rebbe Sava Yaushi'un Elikim Achrini. Rebbe says what it means is like this. The Torah says that you have to come El Helikim, Ad Helikim Yavid Varshneim. You're going to come to Helikim, you're going to come to the Dayanim for the Din Torah. But then when the Pasuk says Yavshiun Helikim, Rebbe holds that would mean a different set of Dayanim. So it would mean, in other words, that you have two Dayanim, Helikim, at the beginning, two at the end, and therefore, so you have four altogether, and therefore, and as usual, you can't have a... And as usual, you can't have an even numbered based in, and therefore Rebbe is going to say that you need five. So in other words, it's not just so much that Rebbe is saying that you have to look at the pronunciation. Everybody agrees you look at the pronunciation, but rather we're saying that you have to look at the fact that it says each time Elikim, and therefore Rebbe is going to say it means a different set, a different group of two Dayanim each. And therefore that means four, and then you're going to have five. Rebbe, the Chacham holds the same group. Asher Yoshiun Alekim means the same Alekim to whom the case was originally brought to. So therefore, it means only two And then it means only two dayanim, and then you have three in order not to have an even number. So it's not a machloikas of yeshem lemikru, yeshem lemasoiras. It's just a machloikas of whether you're understanding the yasher, yashir, and alakim to be implying a different group than the first set. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz. What about Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz with his discussion with his Talmidim about how we know that a woman after giving birth to a baby girl is Tomei for 2 weeks and not for 70 days? So we said because he learns from the words, from the fact that it says Shuai, from the fact that it's pronounced Shuayim. Fine, like Pligid, Abon Alei. Look, the Chachamim don't argue with him. If we found a Chachamim arguing with him, then we could talk about Yeshem LeMikra, Yeshem LeMasoras. He's telling them you go according to Mikra, doesn't mean that anybody else holds differently. Next, Beis Hillel. What about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where we said before about the number of applications of blood for a chatas? No, the reason why Beis Hillel says that it's enough to do it one time, even by a chatas, is not based on the fact that they look only at the words as written in the Sefer Torah and ignore the pronunciation. They would hold only Yesh'em LeMikra and ignore Yesh'em LeMikra. They would only hold Yesh'em LeMasoras and ignore Yesh'em LeMikra. No, not so. D'tanya, there's a different reason. We learn in a Braisa when it says v'chiper, 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 again, by these three times where it tells about the chatas, three times it says the word v'chiper, that he should bring kapara. So mipnei, now the reason why it has to say that is mipnei hadin, because otherwise you would think logically that you would think the matona achas mehen me'akavis, because you would think like this, v'haladinu, you would think to make a binyan av as follows, nema domim lamata. It talks about korbanos that have to be brought, where the blood has to be applied to the lower half of the mizbeach. As when we get to Masechta Zvachim, that's the Shem, we'll learn about, there are certain korbanos where the blood has to be applied to the top half of the mizbeach, and others where davka has to be applied to the bottom half of the mizbeach. So when we have over here, the word lamata, Rashi says actually the word lamata over here can have two meanings. It can mean lamata as in physically lower on the mizbeach, as in other words, that you have, the Rashi's first explanation is lamata, and lamaila mean as it usually does in the Gemara, in these kinds of contexts, means further down and further up, meaning you have like this. It talks about the chatas behema in Perek Dalad of Vayikra. It talks about those various kinds of chatas that we had so far. Then in Perek Hay, it talks about where you have the case where a person brings a chatas oif. Where various cases where a person brings a bird as a chatas. And there it mentions that it has to be applied to the wall of the mizbeach, from which we learn that it means the lower half. So in other words, the idea is a chatas behema, the blood is applied to the upper half of the mizbeach, a chatas ha'oif, on the contrary, it's applied to the lower half. So Rashi's first explanation of lamata and lamaila, lamata means further along in the psukim, and lamaila means above, earlier in the psukim. The second explanation is lamata means physically lower on the mizbeach, and lamaila means on the upper half of the mizbeach. Actually, it actually brings three explanations. You have those two, and then Rashi says another explanation. Lamata would be even further in Parshas Vayikra, where it talks about the korban osham. So Rashi actually prefers the second explanation, which is lamata and lamaila means the spatial locations on the mizbeach, the lower half or the other half or the upper half. Anyway, so like this, nema matan domim lamata. So it says you have an application of blood, nema domim lamata. It says an application of blood below, meaning according to Rashi's most preferred explanation, on the lower half of the mizbeach. And then the pasuk also had told us that you have blood that has to be applied to the upper half of the mizbeach. Ma domim hamur lamata shenosn matona achas kippur. Now, just like the ones on the lower half of the mizbeach, if you do b'dieved one matona of them, then you're b'dieved mechaper, because by them it doesn't say kau nois in the first place. It never says anything about applying them to the corners of the mizbeach. So therefore, it would just mean as long as one application of blood of them reaches the mizbeach, then they're kosher. And even Beis Shammai had agreed to that after all. So therefore, af domim hamur lamaila, the same way, the blood that's applied to the upper half shenosn matona. You did only one application, kippur, then you would be mechaper. So that's one way of saying, but continues Beis Hillel, oi kloch l'derech zu. On the other hand, you could go in a different direction. You could say, nema domim b'chutz v'nema domim b'fnim. On the other hand, we also have, the Torah is telling us, there's blood that has to be applied outside, on the mizbeach achitzon, and then we also have blood that has to be applied inside, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or in the Kodesh. And ma domim hamurim b'fnim im chiser achas ma'amatonas le'osa b'le'klum. And with the ones inside, the fact is, as we talked about before, matona achas mehen ma'akavas, you leave out even one application, then the whole thing is possible. That Rashi says we learn from psukim, the Gemara in Menachos learns it out from psukim. So you would say, so you would think maybe you should analogize the ones on the outside Mizbeach to the ones on the inside Mizbeach and say you missed out even one application, then it's possible. So we don't know. So which one do you do? Do you say on the one hand that we're going to compare the ones on the, we're going to compare the ones on the upper half of the Mizbeach to the lower half of the Mizbeach and say therefore that one Matana is enough? Or are we going to compare them to the ones that are brought on the inside Mizbeach and then every single Matana has to be done? Well, Basil continues, Nirla Midoma. Well, let's figure out which one is it more similar to? Yes, we have two possible places that we can learn it to. So let's use logic to figure out. It's more logical we should derive from what's outside, both the chatas behema, where the blood is on the top half of the mizbeach, and the chatas oif, where it's on the bottom half. Both of them are done on the outside mizbeach, so it's more logical to derive one from the other, the same way as the ones below, or not just the chatas oif, most kinds of korbanos where the blood is offered on the bottom half of the mizbeach, all of those are on the outside Mizbeach. So therefore, it's more logical to learn the Chatos from those. The Chatos is different than them because it's on the upper half. But nevertheless, it's more logical to derive from them because they're all on the same Mizbeach. The Indonin Chutz Mipnim, it's less logical to derive what happens by the outside Mizbeach from what happens on the inside one. Fine, by the inside one, Matan Achas Men Me'akavas. That doesn't mean it should be on the outside one. But oy kloch derech zu, even that's not good enough. You could also go in a different direction. Chatas va'arba kronos. After all, one is a chatas, and the pasuk says four kronos. We should derive what happens with a chat, where the pasuk calls it a chatas and says that and mentions that it has to be put on the four corners. Derive that from another chatas where it also mentions the four corners, namely the chatois where the blood is brought inside the heichal, where they're also a chatas. After all, the par helam davashal tzibur, the par kohen gadol, the par of yom kippur, etc. All of those are chatois, and the blood is brought into the heichal. And all of them, the pasuk says that it has to be applied on the four corners of the mizbeach apnimi. So maybe you should draw an analogy between the mizbeach, between the chatas, which is brought on the mizbeach achitzen, from the one inside. Yes, they're two different mizbeachas, but both of them are chatas, and both of them are four kronos, as opposed to the shlomim, or the osham, or whatever, which are, yes, they're on the outer mizbeach, but they're a different kind of korban, and it doesn't say by them four kronos. So because of that, we would have thought to learn from the inner mizbeach, and therefore we'd say matona achas man ma'akavas. Therefore, tamad leima v'chiper v'chiper v'chiper. That is why the Torah has to say three times the word v'chiper mipnei hadin, because of these possible limudim. So why does it say three times? It means kippur afpi shle nasan el shloisha. The first one tells us that even though you're supposed to do it four times, even if you did it only three, then you'd still be yotze. Kippur, afapish lenasin al shtayim. Another v'chipper tells us even if you did only two. And kippur, afapish lenasin al achas. And then the final v'chipper tells us that he's mechaper even if he did only one. So that is why this Hillel says that you're getting away with doing only one, even by a chatos, and you're yotze, and the korban is kosher, not because yesh eim l'mikra versus yesh eim l'masodas, but because since it says three times v'chipper, and then we learn from that to reduce the number of times that the blood of the chatos has to be applied to the mizbeach. So Beis Hillel is not saying because yesh eim l'masodas, they agree yesh eim l'mikra, you have to look at the pronunciation, but they're saying those words v'chiper teach us something else. Okay. Next, v'rab Shimon v'rabbanan. What about the machloikas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim about the number of walls of the sukkah? Where again, we said before that Reb Shimon gets his opinion by looking at yesh eim l'mikra, and the Chachamim got their opinion by looking at yesh eim l'masodas. No, now that we're saying everybody agrees yesh eim l'mikra, we would say b'ha pligi. The machloikas rather would be as follows. Reb Shimon sava schacha leboikra. Reb Shimon holds the fact that the sukkah needs schach does not require a pasuk to tell us that. The whole reason why it's called a sukkah is because of the schach. So therefore, according to him, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that you need the schach. So now you have all times when it says basukois. And again, fine, we're going to follow yesh eim l'mikra. We're going to say that we have. that we have in effect six times when it tells us that that you need schach, because each it says basukos three times, and each one is read as a plural, and that makes six. So fine, he says that therefore you don't need a pasuk to tell us about the schach, and therefore that the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim tells us that you take off one basukos legufay, as we said before, because you need one to tell us bechlal, you need to sit in a sukkah, that leaves you four, and therefore he says, so now halacha l'moshe mitzrayim, it tells you the fourth wall doesn't have to be complete, it's enough for it to be one tefach. V'rabbonan sabri schoch haboy kra, the chum hold, no, the very fact that it needs schach also requires a pasuk. So therefore they're going to say as follows, out of the three basukoses, we subtract one to tell us that you need to sit in a sukkah in the first place. Out of the remaining, in effect, four mentions, two, each of which is a plural, making four. You subtract one because that one tells us that you need schach. That leaves you with three. And the three, out of the three, the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim comes and tells you that one of them is needed. It needs to be only a tefach. So therefore, so again, we don't have to say that the machlokas depends on yesh'em l'mikra versus yesh'em l'masodas. They both agree, yesh'em l'mikra, but the question is whether you need one to tell us that there's a schach, that there's schach or not. So the Ran points out, actually, if you didn't, after all, I mean, fine, it's one or the other. You need either walls or schach. What else? What else would a sukkah mean? So he says, because after all, you could have said, for example, the first pasuk could be talking about, let's say you put schach just on top of four poles in the corners without walls. So you need to know the schach has to be, you need to know that there are walls in the first place. You need to know that there are rules about the schach, tas of loymen osui, and so forth. So therefore, so ultimately, so you, the Chacham are saying, you need a pasuk to tell us the basic concept of not just that you need schach, but what kind of schach there is. And therefore they say you have one fewer to tell us about the number of walls. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan. Finally, the fifth machlokas that we talked about, the fifth case of yesh'em l'mikra that we talked about, Rabbi Akiva versus the Chachamim. We can say they're not arguing on yesh'em l'mikra or yesh'em l'masodas. B'ha pligi, the argument is as follows: Rabbi Akiva sava nafshois tauti mashma. Rabbi Akiva holds the word nafshois implies plural, so therefore it means two people. V'rabbanan savri nefashas da'alma mashma. The Chum hold, when it says nafshos, it doesn't specifically mean two people right here in this oil. It means in general people. It means in general. I'll call nafshos meis. The kohen gadol should not go into any place where there's dead people. We don't mean dead people specifically too. We just mean in general. We just mean a plural as in an indefinite plural. So therefore, so according to them, only when you have the revius of blood comes from one person, only then is it matami. Fine. So everybody so far, it comes out, is holding that yesh'em l'mikra. But the Gemara asks, now the other way around, you're telling me that everybody agrees then that yesh'em l'mikra, v'hatanya, I'll give you a braisa that shows that we do say that some tanoim hold that you go according to the masodas, according to the way it's written in the Torah. V'hatanya, we learn a braisa when it comes to tefillin, l'taitofos, three times the Torah uses the word l'taitofos, and three out of the four parashiyos of tefillin, you have that word. Sort of, and again, two of them are written choser, and one of them is written mole. So therefore, the same kind of thing. Harekan arba. So you have a hint to four of them altogether. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says. Harekan arba. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says. There you see that you need four parashiyos and you need four batim in the tefillin shorosh. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need to learn it that way. Tat b'kaspi shtayim pas b'afriki shtayim, because the word toitofos is made up of the word tat or toita, however you pronounce it, whatever, and pas or pois or whatever, and in kaspi and afriki respectively, those words each mean two. So 2 + 2 = 4. A couple of interesting things in that. First of all, it's possible that those are both cognate with words in English. What Kaspi and Afriki are, what those languages are, we don't know for sure. Kaspi might be some language from someplace near the Caspian Sea. Afriki, some say, might be a language of Africa. Some say it might be a language of a place called Phrygia, which is nowadays part of Turkey. Whatever. There is an interesting idea. The word tat might actually be distantly related to the word two in English. And the word pass might be distantly related to the word both in English. Whatever the case, in those languages, those words meant two each. So therefore, so Rabbi Akiva says, from that alone, you can learn that there are four parashiyos in the tefillin. So again, this doesn't necessarily agree exactly with armis sota as the way we have it. But again, actually, Tosfos actually brings up the problem as follows. In all the cases we were talking about till now, with Nafshois and Sukkos and all the rest of them, the question was whether the Vav was written before the Sof, which would allow us to read it, which would force us to read it, and with a plural, Ois, Vav Sof, which means a plural, versus without the Vav there, which makes it that it's a singular. Here, on the other hand, Tosfos points out, it's true in our Sifrei Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzos, the words L'Tetofos are spelt differently in the different places. But Rashi points out that but Tosfos points out the problem is that there's none of them have the vav before the sof. The third time, what it is you have a vav elsewhere in the world. Yeah, in the word you have the word l'taytofos, and in one place it's written with a vav between the two tesses. So how are we learning a plural? So how is Rabbi Shmuel learning a plural from that? And Tosfos gives a long discussion over here, not so long, but whatever. Tosfos gives a discussion about a concept which we learned in Bava Basra called Gurdin Umaisifin Vidoshin. Sometimes a way of doushening words in a pasuk is to take letters from one word and attach them to a different word, and resulting in new words, which then we can doushen. Tosfos gives an example from Zvachim. We had an example in Bava Basra. But Tosfos discusses over here, and different other Mephoshim after them discuss the rules. When can we do that? We can't just indiscriminately take letters from words and rearrange them. Then we could make anything out of it. Can we in fact do that over here? Can we take the vav from between the two tesses and apply it and put it as though it was before the suf and use it for the drasha? Not necessarily. Is it so simple to do that? Maybe we can only do Gurin Masif and Vidoshin from the end of one word to the beginning of another word or something like that. Anyway, Tosfos gives another explanation that we're not darshaning from the Vav in the middle of the word L'Taytofos, but rather the fact that one time it says U'L'Taytofos. So that Vav gives us something extra, and therefore we're going to say L'Taytofos, U'L'Taytofos. So that extra Vav teaches us something extra, and therefore it comes out four, says Rabbi Shmuel. And according to Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't darshan that way, so therefore he says you have to darshan from tat and pas, respectively. There is the question, by the way, how is it that the Gemara is assuming that there are words in the Torah depending on Kaspi and Afriki? So there's an interesting idea, actually, that the Shalach Kodesh says these are words that were originally from Lashon Kodesh, but they dropped out of use in Lashon Kodesh, and then they remained in other languages where they ended up there after the splitting of the languages by the Tower of Babel. These words ended up in those languages, and they continued to be used, whereas in Lashon Kodesh they fell out of use. But they are originally words from Lashon Kodesh, and therefore the Torah can be using them. Anyway, so the point is, Rabbi Shmuel clearly holds we go according to the way that it's written in the Torah, because if it was a matter of pronunciation, then all of them are pronounced L'Taytofos. So Ela La'olam Pligi. So no, after all, we were going to say yes, there is a machlokas among the Tanoim which one we follow, Yeshem L'Mikra or Yeshem L'Masoros. Vahani Mili Ki Pligi. But when do we say that they argue Hechad the Shani Kromi Masoros? Where you have, there's a contradiction between them. Where the way that we read it is different than the way that it's written in the Torah. So therefore, we have to douse in one versus the other. Avalhai chelev v'cholav d'chi adoninu. But we asked at the bottom of the previous Amud that everybody agrees that the mitzvah, that there's an issue of basa b'cholav, not basa b'chelev. The difference is because the words cholav and chelev are both written with the exact same letters, so it's not like there's any reason to say that it should mean one more than the other. So therefore we can say that d'chiyadonin, you know, they're exactly the same letters. Everybody agrees, yeshem l'mikra, everybody's going to agree that we follow the pronunciation, and we don't say yes, but those letters could have had a different pronunciation as well. Only when you have that the pronunciation is one way, but the way it's written in the Sefer Torah could have suggested a different pronunciation, then we have the machlokas, which would explain all the machlokas that we had before. And also this one about tefillin. Okay. So what about the Gemara asked about a Yira Yeroa Deki Adoni Ninu? What about, though, you have like this, when the Torah says Shalosh, that three times a year, Yeroa Kol Zechurcha, all of your males should be seen in the Bismikdash. And the word could also be read as if it said yireh, he will see. And in fact, we're opligian. In fact, we have a machlokas tanoim about which one is more important. Do we darshan something from that? Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Where Yochanan ben Dehavai Omer, Meshum Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Asuma be'echa be'enav, he says a person who is blind in one eye, potter min ariyah, would be potter from coming on aliyah l'regel and seeing and being seen by Hashem. Shenema yireh yeroeh, because the pasuk says yeroeh, but we can also read it as though it said yireh, so it means he will, yeroeh will mean he will be seen by Hashem, but yireh, the way it's written in the Torah, the same letter is yud resh aleph hey, can also be read yireh, he will see. And therefore, that means we can darshan from that. We learn from that the same way as he comes to see Hashem. The same way Yeroa, he will be seen by Hashem. Rashi explains, in other words, that the Yireh and the Yireh refers to Hashem. Hashem will see him, and Yeroa means he will be seen by Hashem. But that's how Tosfos understands Rashi anyway, and they explain differently that they explain Yireh means the Yeroa calls Chocha, the person comes to be seen by Hashem, and Yireh, the person has to be able to see and perceive Hashem. So therefore, we learn from that just like when Hashem, when a person is being seen by Hashem, just like to see is with both eyes. The same way to be seen is with both eyes. Meaning, in other words, so Yochanan ben Dehavai learns from that. Since Hashem is seeing you with two eyes, therefore you have to also be able to see with two eyes. Or according to the way Tosfos understands Rashi, the point would be just like you come to be seen by Hashem with both of his eyes, the same way you have to be able to see Hashem with both of your eyes, so to speak. Whatever the case, the point is that we see that he is darshaning from the fact that the word is written Yud Resh Aleph Hey, and it can equally be read Yireh or Yeroah, and he darshans from that ambiguity. Whereas the Chachamim disagree, even though it's the same letter. As here we said by Chelev and Cholov that if it's the same letter, as everybody agrees that we darshan only the way it's read. But here we have it, the same letters, and we have a machlokas, whether we darshan the way it's written or the way it's read. No, because there's a different way we can learn when it comes. It's true. There would be a machlokas of yesh em lemikra, yesh em lemasodas, even when it comes to words that are written the same way. So therefore, there could be an amp. So that explains yira and yeroi. We're going to have a machlokas whether which one is more important. But when it comes to chalev ima, it's different. The pasuk says, don't cook it, implying derech bishul osar Torah. The Torah asks it only something which would involve cooking. Now, when you cook milk and meat, then when you cook meat and milk, there's actual cooking involved because the milk is liquid. So therefore, so that would be called, that the definition of bishul is cooking. And a liquid, that would work. When it comes to chalev, though, that wouldn't be cooking. That would be frying. And the Torah doesn't say, it says, savashtol. So therefore, that means we're talking about something that's cooking. Namely, it has to be something that remains liquid, namely a milk. As opposed to fat, which would be called frying. So therefore, because it says lo sevashal, is that that's ultimately why we learn. So it's not a matter of how the word could have been pronounced differently. Here we ignore the other possibility that it would have been chelev, because then it wouldn't work with the fact that it says lo sevashal. Tosfos brings another explanation also, that the Torah is implying it's only also because you cook them together. As opposed to chelev, the Torah elsewhere tells us is also period. So therefore, so another way of understanding is the Torah is telling you something where each one of them by itself would have been mutter, and only the combination is also is what you're also to do. As opposed to with chelev, where to begin with chelev itself is also to eat. So therefore, so that would be another way of showing that it must mean b'chalev imo, in the milk rather than in the fat. The Ramah, the Yad Ramah, brings another point as well. If it meant to not cook it with the chalev, then it would say im chalev imoy. Ba chalev imoy implies that it's cooked in the actual milk, and then therefore that means that the issur applies to milk and not to fat.